From the Mercy One Studio.
Welcome to Straight Talk, a lively discussion on tough issues impacting our lives. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Here's your host, Gene Wells, brought to you by Blackbird Investments.
Weekly dose of news from the diocese and around the world, plus commentary on issues that are impacting our lives, that are impacting our neighbors and our friends. And we tried to give you food for thought to help you digest what's happening in the news. It is Straight Talk. You've got questions. We've got answers. I'm Jean Wells, and so blessed to be broadcasting from the Mercy One studio here at Iowa Catholic Radio, and also grateful to Blackbird Investments for sponsoring Straight Talk. Doing what is challenging because it is right, that's Blackbird Investments. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird believes in giving buildings a new life. For more information, go online, blackbirdinvest.com. On today's show, we're talking about refugees and the challenges facing them today in the United States. And my guests are Barbara Decker, she's the executive director, and Elsie Rodich, the refugee resettlement program manager, both from Catholic Charities here in Des Moines. We are now witnessing the highest levels of displacement on record in the world. Consider this. Nearly one person is forcibly displaced every 2 seconds as a result of conflict or persecution. So just in the matter of the few minutes that we've been on the air, just think of the number of people that are now without their home. There are nearly 25.9 million refugees, over half of whom are under the age of 18. Now, in the United States, the U.S. allowed approximately 210,000 refugees in the 1980s and has been on a steady decline for about 10 years. And then in the 90s, it bumped back up again. It reached 132,000, then dropped to a low after 9/11 of 27,000. But for 2020, the administration has capped the refugee admissions at 18,000. Some say this is prudent, others racist. Now, President Trump signed an executive order this last September allowing state and local governments to reject refugees, with some questioning whether the charge was really politically motivated. The president does have the authority to change the scope through the 1980 Refugee Act, and an attorney for the Justice Department insists the intent is not to provide states or communities with a veto power over refugee resettlement. The executive order was designed to enhance the involvement of states and local officials in the process of resettling refugees. So far, 41 states have agreed to refugee resettlement, including Iowa, though Texas has opted out. Now, just yesterday, a news release came out that the Texas bishops are urging their governor to reconsider refugee resettlement, calling his decision, Governor Greg Abbott's announcement that the state will not participate in the federal refugee resettlement program, they called it deeply discouraging and disheartening. While the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops respects the governor, this decision is simply misguided. It denies people who are fleeing persecution, including religious persecution, from being able to bring their gifts and talents to our state and contribute to the general common good of all Texans. That was just released yesterday. Now, without much thought, you can all imagine the chaos this has caused, both for agencies that work with refugees as well as the individuals themselves. If you have questions or concerns or comments, you can text us at 515-223-1150 with my guests, Barbara Decker, Executive Director of Catholic Charities, and Elsie Rodich, the Refugee Resettlement Program Manager from Catholic Charities. But first, a couple of items of interest, some events coming up. The January Man Up event will be January 28th, beginning at 5:20. You know, they always start with the rosary. Before they have dinner, it's at St. Mary of Nazareth Catholic Church over on Meredith. The topic, our mission as men, evangelizing in the public square. The next Ladies Mosaic Luncheon will be February 13th at St. Teresa Catholic Church, featuring Chris Magruder and the Miracle of the Veil Removed. The doors open at 11:30. Registration also available online at iowacatholicradio.com. And men, your annual conference is February 20th at Embassy Suites this year, with Iowa State football head coach Matt Campbell. Go Clones. And for those of you already tired of winter after this first snow of 2020, the Iowa Catholic Radio golf outing is June 12th at Blank Golf Course. Again, all information is at iowacatholicradio.com. A couple of pieces of news. On Sunday, the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, Pope Francis baptized 32 babies in the Sistine Chapel, telling parents not to worry if their children cry at Mass. Let the children cry, the Pope said. It is a beautiful homily when a child cries in church, a beautiful homily. And he went on to say, just as Jesus went to receive baptism, you bring your children. The power of the Holy Spirit comes to defend them for the rest of their lives. Running enthusiast and pro-lifer Julia Webb, who's 36, set a world record November 24th for fastest time finishing a half marathon while pushing a baby in a stroller. Her 10-month-old daughter Gabby was part of the victory. Not even more impressive, Webb's time of 1 hour, 21 minutes, 23 seconds won the women's half marathon overall at the Route 66 race in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, the timing of her win could not have been more appropriate, given the announcement at this last weekend's Golden Globes, where a Golden Globe winner announced that she would not have been able to win the award had she not aborted her child. We pray for her. Also to pray, we had four seminarians in Nigeria who were abducted over the weekend, so please keep them in your prayers. The kidnappers have reached out to their family, but there is no notice yet of their well-being. So please keep them in your prayers. When we come back, we will look at the issues impacting refugees in the United States with my guests, Barbara Decker and Elsie Rodich, the Executive Director, Refugee Resettlement Program Manager, respectively, from Catholic Charities. It's time for Straight Talk. Right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you to Golden Rule for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
At Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, we do our best to serve the people and communities who so generously support us. We try and find some way to give back every single month because we know everyone can use some help. Golden Rule is very thankful for all of our customers and your continued support of us. We would like to wish you and yours a very blessed holiday season.
I'm Bobby from Golden Rule, where we deliver respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service every time you call. We have a standard and we prove it with every job. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you to Bozen the Florist for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio, Dowling Catholic Football, and Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
What better way to send a message to a friend or a loved one than a beautiful bouquet of fresh-cut flowers? Hey, this is Tom Bozen from Bozen the Florist. Our family business has been helping Central Iowans send messages locally and around the world for almost 100 years. Whatever the occasion, whatever the message, we can help you say more with Bozen. That's 244 Rose, 244-7673, or visit us at Bozen.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Their number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
Thank you, Bless Me International, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Everyone lives their life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Each year, Blessment International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmentinternational.org. That's blessmentinternational.org.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the sports report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Hi, I'm Teresa, and as Executive Director of InterVisions Healthcare, I want to say thank you. Thank you to the thousands of women in Central Iowa for trusting InterVisions when it comes to your unplanned pregnancy. And thank you to the many supporters who have made it possible for us to serve these patients. We are excited to announce our second clinic on the South Side is currently open. Now we have two locations to better serve women with unplanned pregnancies or STDs. Would you like a tour of the clinic? Give us a call today to get that set up. 515-440-2273 or visit ivhcare.org.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and I do encourage you to text us at 515-223-1150. Our topic today is around the refugees, the changes in the programs, the increase in the number of refugees worldwide, and are we called to help them? Are we called to distance ourselves from them? Because, you know, we have to take care of our own. Yes, we do, but you know, what are we called to do? What is God calling us to do? So I have two great guests here with me today. Barbara Decker, she is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities. And Elsie Rodich, she is the Refugee Resettlement Program Manager for Catholic Charities here in Des Moines. And they are here in studio. Straight Talk is always live. You can text us at 515-223-1150. So we're going to start with the simple question first. It seems like sometimes refugee and immigrants, those terms are interchanged. And I know there is a nuance, there's a difference. So give us the scoop so we know what we're talking about today.
Thank you, Jeannie, for that question.
Yeah.
I think it's an important one because sometimes it is confusing to people when they hear that terminology. And so when we think about refugee, they are individuals, persons who are forcibly influence just in terms of leaving their home country due to war or persecution or other reasons that cause them to fear for their life. And so I think the emphasis is on that they are forced. While an immigrant are individuals who voluntarily leave their country, maybe because of conditions in terms of economic, looking for employment opportunities or educational opportunities.
So all of the stuff we hear about going on in Mexico and coming over here, are they immigrants or refugees?
They are immigrants.
Okay. So they are choosing to leave. They are not being physically threatened. So, but it's not the best
place to live. But that's right. It's not a best circumstance.
Okay. In our news, I addressed this executive order requiring states and communities to opt in or opt out of refugee resettlement. Now, there's this lawsuit in Maryland, three organizations that provide services like Catholic Charities does, and they are the Church World Service, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, and HIAS, which is a Jewish nonprofit. They filed the lawsuit for an injunction to, you know, stop this, the opting in and opting out thing, and the judge anticipates a quick decision. So that's good. Like this week I read somewhere.
Yes.
Is there any truth in the counter argument that agencies, you know, we're not working closely enough with local officials on resettling refugees, and the administration acted in order to respect communities that believe they do not have the jobs or other resources to be able to take in refugees?
I can speak really to Iowa, and mm-hmm. we know this in terms of their legacy in welcoming refugees mm-hmm. to our communities. And so in 2007, there have been nearly 10,000 refugees that have come to the state since that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, there were 37 different countries that were represented from our refugee communities.
It's interesting because, you know, you hear, you know, oh, Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they must all be from Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
How many? 37?
37 wow. different countries. And I think the other piece, and then I'll have Elsie also speak to it, just in terms of the economics, when you look at refugees and immigrants earning $4.1 billion during that same time period and contributing more than $349 million in state and local taxes. It's been a very vibrant, very rich opportunity to bring refugees and immigrants, refugees in particular that we're talking today, into the state.
One of the things I think we all hear about is that, oh, they're here, they're taking up all the social services money, they're not contributing back, you know, they're not paying taxes. You know, those are the folks that have come here through inappropriate means that are here that may be accessing those kind of services. But refugees, there's a process, right? So
yes.
So they are paying taxes, they're mm-hmm. contributing members. So, but you were going to add on.
Yes. Just to add on that, refugees are incredibly resilient individuals who come here for the purposes. First of all, they're legally here. Mm-hmm. They're resettled through the normal channels and arrive here with a legal refugee status. And after 5 years, they can apply to become permanent residents and then become after 1 year, they apply to become permanent residents, and then after 5 years, they become U.S. citizens. They can apply to become U.S. citizens. So they're incredibly resilient individuals who want to come here mm-hmm. and become economically self-sufficient, find jobs, be able to contribute to the economy, have good lives and better lives for their children. Just to go back to how we work very closely with the state and
yeah.
local officials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we work very closely with the state refugee coordinator who is housed at the Bureau of Refugee Services, which is the office right next to the DHS. We also work very closely with the state refugee health coordinator, different local governments in Polk County, Dallas County, Marshall County. We also work with the social services, public education, Des Moines Public Schools, Amberdale Schools, and other schools, public safety through Des Moines Police Department. So
you don't really connect with anybody.
Yeah, we are happy to consult with as many people as possible because we want to make sure that we keep them updated on mm-hmm. the refugees that are coming here in Des Moines and also be able to make sure that we have enough resources to be able to help them resettle here.
You hear these stories that, you know, they're not organizations are bringing folks in and they're just not connecting with anyone. And I'm thinking, well, mm-hmm. Iowa Nice.
Mm-hmm.
We do. I mean, that just makes sense. It's
yes.
like you wouldn't bring someone in and then fight battles. I mean, there's enough battles when they're coming from a different country, a different language, a different monetary system, different sides of the road to drive on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course you're going to do as much as you can.
Well, and especially when you think that we're one of only two refugee resettlement organizations in the state which settle refugees from their home countries. And we'll talk about that more mm-hmm. In a few minutes.
How does Catholic Charities then work with Des Moines and the surrounding communities
yeah.
as you assist with refugee resettlement? I mean, do you only settle them in the Des Moines proper, or are they all around?
They are in various communities, and Elsie and a small group of individuals have recently been working with the communities and the counties that we work with. So, as you know, Jeannie, we work with Polk County, which mm-hmm. is central Iowa, as well as Dallas County and Marshall County as well. And so with those communities, we've really had good relationships. And I would just respond by saying we have a very broad and diverse network of individuals that we work with and organizations that we work with. Elsie has mentioned a few of those, but I would also add parishes.
Mm-hmm.
I know Elsie and her team work significantly with several parishes in this area in terms of donations and collections.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do work very closely with parishes, and most of them have also become part of our refugee partnership program, which we partner up a newly arriving refugee family with a group of 3 to 5 individuals in different parishes.
What a great network. I mean, you know, it's like you come and there are people that want to be your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So when you mentioned Dallas and Polk and Marshall counties, have they all, on this executive order, have they all opted in to continue to resettle refugees?
Elsie and her team have been working with, particularly we've appreciated, first of all, the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Reynolds has signed off on the consent, which we greatly appreciate. And then with Polk County, she has met with the Polk County Board of Supervisors. We have that written consent, Dallas County. And I think that we're in the works for Marshall as well. We're in the process of that.
I mean, you talk about, oh, let's throw a whole wrench in the system. It's like, we got a system, we're working, and now we need to start this. Now, you did mention working with parishes. If folks are out there listening going, well, I'd like to help, do they go to their parish first? Do they call you, Elsie? You know, do they text me on the text sign and say, Jean, what do I do now?
Yes, there's many ways to get in touch with
okay.
us.
All of the above.
Yes, all of the above. We are always actively looking for new parish groups that would want to partner up with a newly arriving refugee family. It's a four-month commitment, meeting once a week to work together and be able to mentor and support this newly arriving family. As you can imagine, moving to a different country where you have a different language, a different culture, different food, different way of doing things, different education system, all the refugees that arrive really need a lot of help to be able to be successful in resettling here.
You know, I have to say, I moved about a year ago. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have had a family adopt me for 4 months. You know, get those boxes all out of the garage even and help, you know, put the dishes away, all those kinds of things. Oh, my goodness. So as we look at, you know, what Catholic Charities has done, 2019, how many refugees did you resettle?
Yeah, when we look at the calendar year, it's been 207 individuals. And so with that, you know, our whole focus around refugee resettlement is on family unification, which means that we already have families from the respective native countries, and we want to reunite with the new refugees coming in. Elsie can speak more about that, but I have always been a very just impressed with the fact that it's about families.
So when you said 207?
Seven.
Yeah. Was that people or families?
207 individuals.
Okay.
We resettled here.
Mm-hmm.
And as Barbara said, we focus most of our effort on family reunification. War is a terrible thing, and people flee to different countries. And we sometimes, most of the time, have family members that arrive and still have their parents left in the refugee camp, their sisters, their brothers, in different refugee camps. So we do work together with our other organizations to make sure that these refugees are reunited through family reunification. So we are grateful to be able to help families reunite.
So when we look at this 18,000, I think, that are going to be able to come in, that's 18,000 individuals, not 18,000 families. How many will Iowa get out of that 18,000?
Yeah, of the 18,000, by the way, we've attended a number of different webinars with the USCCB, and the USCCB is our partner and our funder on this process, and they are just wonderful to work with, very much, very committed and dedicated, and support us in our work.
That's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Thank you, Jeannie. And when we look at that, it's important to be able to kind of speak to the work that we're doing with them.
Yes. United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Migration and Refugee Services Department is our partner and our funder, as Barbara said, and we work very closely with them to be able to successfully resettle refugees in Des Moines. So we are grateful for that partnership, which is a very important one.
Bishop Pates very engaged that particular group through the USCCB?
Bishop Pates was a leader and considered to be, I know all of our refugee communities had embraced him, and just in terms of a person who would listen and support them as well. But in answer to your question, of the 18,000 within the United States that we have an opportunity to resettle refugees, actually there are about 7,500 of those 18,000 that Catholic Charities Des Moines would have the opportunity to resettle. And of that 7,500, we're probably looking at, what would you say, Elsie, around 100 or so?
Yes.
So that's down from the 207 this year.
Yes.
And when we talk about those numbers of refugees, 29 million that are still refugees somewhere, you know, there's a lot of need. There's a lot of need. Let's look at one more question before we take our break here. And what will be the practical consequences in the implementation of this executive order that Governor Reynolds has opted in for refugee resettlement?
And that's an easy, I think, response.
Oh, good.
Once we are authorized to receive new refugees, it will be business as usual. And that business as usual is the first 90 days or 180 days, depending upon their status, to come in and do cultural orientation and all the work that we've been talking about in terms of introducing refugees into our communities. Very basic, very essential needs, and we can spend a lot of time talking about that today. But it is the pots and pans and learning how to operate a stove or an air conditioner. It's very basic, essential needs. And I would just add to that, knowing that we're coming to a break, that the countries that they're coming from to Catholic Charities are the Democratic Republic of Congo, Burma, Eritrea, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that puts a strain, I would assume, on your staff because that's not one language.
Correct.
They all speak different languages. They all come from different perspectives.
Yes.
And you talk about needing that flexibility and just common goodness to help them transition.
Yes. And we are very grateful to our staff. We have staff that speak multiple languages and understand the cultural background of the staff, of the refugees that are coming here into Des Moines. So we are very grateful to have such a great team that is here and ready to welcome the newly arriving refugees.
That's wonderful, because my listeners know I have a hard time with one language, so we're grateful for that. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Barbara Decker, Executive Director of Catholic Charities in Des Moines, and Elsie Rodich, the Refugee Resettlement Program Manager from Catholic Charities, around the impact refugees are having with the limited numbers that can come in, and how do they transition into our communities. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits. Or they were helped when their kids were in school. Or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great. And after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments. Doing what is challenging because it's right.
Ladies, join us for the first Mosaic Luncheon of the year on Thursday, February 13th at St. Teresa's Church. Our featured speaker is Chris Magruder, founder of The Veil Removed, a short film about what happens at Mass that we cannot see. She will talk about the miracles surrounding this project and the many graces that continue to be received. Doors open at 11:30 and lunch is from 12 to 1. Sign up now at iowacatholicradio.com or call 223-1150.
Vitae Family Care is part of the Iowa Catholic Radio family. Pro-life physician Greg McKernan, a DO, has practiced for 27 years, seeing patients of all ages with just about every kind of need. Dr. McKernan lives his faith as a physician and is trained in NAPRO technology, allowing him to diagnose and treat many female conditions and even markedly reduce the occurrence of a miscarriage. VitaeFamilyCare.com. Remember, Vitae is Latin for life.
Are you prepared for the 2020 Iowa Catholic Men's Conference Sons of the Father? Saturday, February 22nd at the Embassy Suites by Hilton downtown. Mass will be offered at 7:30 a.m. Registration begins at 8, and the conference kicks off at 9 with Iowa State University head football coach Matt
Campbell, followed by Joe Stopulis from The Man Up Show. John Leonetti from Iowa Catholic Radio will host the Iowa Catholic Men's Conference, Sons of the Father, Saturday, February 22nd at the Embassy Suites by Hilton downtown. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com.
Programming support for Catholic Women Now is provided by Iowa's injury attorney, Fred Haas. For over 30 years, Fred Haas has helped injured Iowans recover financial, physical, and emotional losses from car, truck, and motorcycle accidents, work-related injuries, and injuries due to negligence. Most importantly, providing the professional, personal, and responsive legal counsel that everyone deserves. Fred, double D, Haas, double A, the Des Moines Law Offices of Fred Haas. While we have time, let us do good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. Chilly this afternoon, around 30, but it should be fair. A little bit of light snow possible overnight, down to about 23. Clouds early tomorrow, sunny in the afternoon, but our temperature dropping to about 25. The weather is brought to you by Rock Valley Physical Therapy. Outstanding outpatient physical therapy and sports medicine rehabilitation with 7 convenient locations in the Des Moines metro and southwest Iowa area. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and today we are talking about refugees, the impact not only on the United States, but on the entire country and in our backyard. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we may talk about these topics, but this should be impacting us. We should be engaged in this process because if we think broader than ourselves, the world needs our help. We are blessed to live here in the United States, in Iowa, and we need to be sharing our time and talent and treasure with others who are less fortunate. Joining me today is Barbara Decker, the Executive Director, and Elsie Rodich, the Refugee Resettlement Program Manager from Catholic Charities. And we're talking about a lot of these refugee issues, so it's a very broad conversation. How has the shift in refugee resettlement impacted Catholic Charities, first of all, nationwide?
You know, as we look at nationwide, we look at Catholic Charities agencies like ours, and I can give you just a couple of statistics. When we look at 2016, there were 71 Catholic Charities agencies that were serving and settling refugees. Today, there are 50. Hmm. And so as we begin to look at the impact not only of Catholic Charities and the agencies, but as you say, nationwide, in terms of serving and settling refugees, those numbers have diminished. They have been significant in terms of our colleagues. And when we look at the number of refugees, as we talked about earlier, that number has also significantly decreased.
Now, why? I mean, yes, I understand that the limits are set every year as to how many refugees can come in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it politically motivated? What is it that you know, we like to think we're the greatest country in the world, that we are limiting the number of refugees that are coming in? I mean, is it really a practical situation where we only have, you know, so many square feet of space for people, so we can't bring any more in than what are being birthed here, where we're not even replacing our birth rate? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I get on my soapbox periodically.
Thanks,
there's
Jeannie.
12 questions in that one. So.
I would just say philosophically, you know, yeah, when we think about the Catholic Church and, of course, Pope Francis, he says, welcome the stranger.
Right.
And so recently he worked with the United Nations on a compact in terms of some key principles. And there are four action verbs that he used in terms mm-hmm. of refugees and immigrants. And those are to welcome, to integrate, to protect, and to promote refugees and immigrants. And there's, I think it's online, just in terms of what the 20 points are. But certainly, as you mentioned, there are some, not only philosophically, but economic employment. We know, for example, in the state of Iowa, that one of the key issues that the legislators are going to be talking about is workforce. Mm-hmm. And Elsie can speak to the number of local employers that we have that really want to recruit and retain our refugee employees. They have been wonderful to work with. And so with that, Elsie, if there are a couple of other comments about what Jean has communicated to us.
I throw that out there.
Yeah. Just to say that we get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of phone calls from employers who are looking for workforce to be able to work at different companies. So our refugee clients that arrive here make very good employees, and we are all constantly being asked who is coming next week, who is coming, can they work for us? So we feel that they are contributing to the economy, not only of Iowa, but also to be able to make these companies prosperous, while at the same time the refugees themselves becoming self-sufficient.
Well, and you know, do you need your crystal ball to say how many refugees can our country accept every year? I mean, this 18,000 came from somebody, you know, and then, you know, others would immediately jump to the argument of, well, you can't have open borders. Well, no, you can't have open borders. You know, there needs to be some semblance of order for, you know, folks to come in. But, you know, where is that balance?
Yeah, and I, as I think when we talk about politics, which we won't today, I think when we talk about need and resources and looking at our respective states, and maybe that's the reason for the executive order, you know, we welcome and we're going to engage with our colleagues and the government agencies to be sure that individuals that are coming into the United States, that are coming into Iowa, are rigorously vetted. I know that Elsie has a good sense of that in terms of the vetting process when we do have refugees come into our communities and throughout the nation as well. And they're very significant, you know, when, and I'll have her speak to that. But I would also add and provide this to your listeners, you know, the average number of years that a refugee may be in a refugee camp is 17 years. And when we think about that, and, you know, to your point, to your question, we need to have individuals who want to work, who want to be in the United States, to have to be with their families, to practice their faith, whatever that faith tradition is.
Yeah, refugees wait a very long time to come to the United States, and for that average of 17 years, their life is basically in a limbo because they're in a refugee camp waiting to be resettled. Going back to their home country is not an option because it's no longer safe for them to return. So resettlement becomes their only option to have a better life.
It just breaks your heart.
Yes.
Just breaks your heart. Okay, you talked about the number of agencies that have gone from 70-something to 50-something nationwide. What about Catholic Charities? How has this decreasing number impacted your agency, your organization?
Yeah, within Catholic Charities Des Moines, you know, we look at our staff, and I'm not going to count noses, but we have a very good team, as Elsie mentioned. But we've had to have difficult conversations when we look at the number of hours that people work or, you know, the types of work assignments, particularly since October, when we haven't had as many refugees coming in, very few, in fact. And so how do we continue to do this work and to sustain ourselves? And we've had generous donors help support us during this process as well. So we're very fortunate. And I would also say the USCCB has been very supportive of us and has conveyed their vision, their need for us to continue to sustain this program. It is the right thing to do.
One of the concerns of the administration is connecting refugees to the community, that there is a fit. And we talked about this already, the job opportunities, et cetera. What can an organization like Catholic Charities do to build that relationship with the local community?
Well, the good news is that we do have a very strong relationship, mm-hmm. as we talked about. I think for Catholic Charities Des Moines, we want to continue and visiting with Elsie and her team to expand the refugee resettlement services beyond the first 90 days and the 180 days, because we recognize, and as you mentioned, Jeannie, as well, you know, that's not a long period of time to be able to really get acclimated to your new surroundings.
Oh, come on, Barbara. You've been in a refugee camp for 17 years. I mean, come on, right?
And isn't that the truth, that here we are, individuals that come at midnight on an airplane. Some of them are by themselves or with their family mm-hmm. members, and they're coming from their native country to this community called Iowa and Des Moines, and it could be snowing and a blizzard. Yeah. We've had those situations before. Yeah. And so just the newness, the certainly the significance of some place that they've never been before, but they may have only heard about, mm-hmm. is so important that we respond accordingly. 90 to 180 days, we do a very good job with that, but we need more time, so we are looking at some other ways to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also to add that Des Moines is very welcoming to refugees. There's a lot of community partners that we work with to be able to make sure that refugees have a good chance of resettling here in Des Moines. So there's a welcoming atmosphere, partnering with different organizations, community partners, the local authorities, just to make sure that this is a wonderful place for refugees.
You know, that does feel good. You know, we do want to be a part of that community, yeah. as opposed to having you come on and say, well, you know, they really struggle.
Yeah.
But not here. Mm-hmm. That's good. Hey, we're going to take our final break of the show. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, where do these 70 million new refugees go every year? I mean, are they just in refugee camps? We're going to talk about all that and more here on Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits. Or they were helped when their kids were in school. Or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great. And after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Vitae Family Care is part of the Iowa Catholic Radio family. Pro-life physician Greg McKernan, a DO, has practiced for 27 years, seeing patients of all ages with just about every kind of need. Dr. McKernan lives his faith as a physician and is trained in NAPRO technology, allowing him to diagnose and treat many female conditions and even markedly reduce the occurrence of a miscarriage. VitaeFamilyCare.com. Remember, Vitae is Latin for life.
Are you prepared for the 2020 Iowa Catholic Men's Conference Sons of the Father? Saturday, February 22nd at the Embassy Suites by Hilton downtown. Mass will be offered at 7:30 a.m. Registration begins at 8, and the conference kicks off at 9 with Iowa State University head football coach Matt Campbell, followed by Joe Stopulis from The Man Up Show. John Leonetti from Iowa Catholic Radio will host the Iowa Catholic Men's Conference Sons of the Father, Saturday, February 22nd at the Embassy Suites by Hilton downtown. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Thank you to R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning. R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities have unique amenities and award-winning property management. Sierra Point and Country Club Village Apartments in West Des Moines and residents at 62W and Wynwood Apartments in Johnston. R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities wants you to love where you live. Learn more at rrrealty.com. That's rrrealty.com. Find out how you can support Iowa Catholic Radio at iowacatholicradio.com or 515-223-1150.
Need an experienced attorney for legal matters? I know a guy. Stephen C. Reed, attorney at law, is a proud supporter of Iowa Catholic Radio. Steve is a longtime resident of Iowa and is licensed to practice in all Iowa state and federal courts. He has years of experience in real estate law, wills, conservatorships, trusts, and estate planning. Steve's law office phone number is 515-224-1776. That's 515-224-1776.
Well, welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and today's topic is a good one. The Refugee Resettlement Program. What are we doing? What are the challenges that we're facing, both locally, statewide, nationally? And I have two experts here. You can text me, 515-223-1150. My guests are here to answer your questions. Barbara Decker, Executive Director, and Elsie Rodich, the Refugee Resettlement Program Manager from Catholic Charities here in Des Moines. So let's talk about these number of refugees worldwide. 70 million. Yeah, piece of cake. I mean, Iowa's 3 million, so we can just take them all. We have a small quantity. 70 million new refugees last year. So where are they going if there's only 18,000 that are going to be coming into the United States?
Yeah. That's a good question, Jean. So I'll use the statistics from 2018, where 27 countries around the world accepted almost 55,000 refugees.
55,000?
Yes.
Not 55 million.
55,000.
55,000.
Yes, and you can imagine how many are still waiting at the refugee camp. So the United States has always been a leader in resettling refugees for many, many years. In the year 2017, we resettled about 110,000 refugees, and that number has continued to decline. Mm-hmm. We also see Canada taking a lead in resettling refugees, the United Kingdom, which resettles about 5,000, France and Sweden are among the top countries that mm-hmm. accept refugees who have fled from different countries.
Now, if they thought Iowa was cold, going to Canada could be a real shocker.
Yes.
Yeah. But you mentioned the whole resettlement part, you know, and you get, what, 90 days. Well, what after that? Mm-hmm. What, how, I mean, they're not ready.
Yes. So the first 90 days, as we talk in the office, is a race against time because there's things that we have to do at very specific times. So the first few days after refugees arrive, of course, we go to the airport and we pick them up. We take them to their house, which we furnish, thankfully, through donations from various parishes and community mm-hmm. members. Make sure that they have food to eat for that night, to be able to help them the next day, do a lot of orientation to make sure that they're able to understand their home, help them apply for social security cards, DHS benefits, enroll children in school.
And their heads
cultural
spinning.
Orientation.
Right?
Yes, it's a lot of things that need to be done within a very short period of time. 90 days is not enough, and that is why they're expanding to post-resettlement services that will enable us continue to help refugees for longer than the 90 days that is mandated by the State Department. It is very important that we continue to provide that assistance and support for up to 6 months or even a year, mm-hmm. if possible.
But do you offer anything like that, Barbara? The post-resettlement?
You know, that's a very good question because that's the area that we're discerning right now. Mm-hmm. We're one of few organizations that are not offering what we call post-resettlement. And these are important services, you know, as we look at and as Elsie had talked about, in terms of providing that continuity to refugees that are coming into the United States, coming into Des Moines, Iowa. And so we're looking at a handful, you know, those areas, those services that are going to continue to be needed by refugee and refugee families as well. So we are looking at that and hope to have something, you know, over the summer.
Good. Good.
Yeah, in addition, it will be nice to also serve the refugees that are transferring, post-arrival transfers. We receive a lot of refugees that are coming from other states, and they choose to come to Iowa to reconnect with their families and also for the employment opportunities that are available here.
Well, they know how nice we are.
Yes.
So describe, Elsie, a typical refugee family. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So refugees come from different, flee from different countries and go into different refugee camps. So depending on which refugee camp, the country of origin and the refugee camp that they went to. It's a very different experiences that they have. I will give an example of Congolese refugees. Congolese refugees flee the Democratic Republic of Congo and they flee into Tanzania. There's a big refugee camp there called Nyarugusu, and some of them flee to Kenya. The ones who flee to Nyarugusu refugee camp, it takes them 15 to 20 years to be resettled. They are in an encampment. They are not allowed to work, and they have very little opportunities for education and other things. Those who flee to Kenya, they live within the community as they wait to be resettled. So they will arrive with a higher English-level skills, job experiences, and those are the things that make it easier for them to resettle here in the United States. Similarly, the Burmese refugees that flee into Thailand refugee camp, it is more of a camp, and they don't have a lot of opportunities for advancement, while those who flee to India and Malaysia will have a higher level of English skills compared to those that fled into Thailand.
So there is no typical family.
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell us, you know, I want to end our show today talking about a family, a typical refugee family, someone that you've, you know, a story that makes this all real. We can talk numbers all we want, but until we know about mom and dad and the kiddos and grandma and grandpa, we don't really embrace this. So who is that family that you can share with us?
Before I became the program manager, I worked as a case manager, and there was one particular family. It was a family of five. They fled from the Democratic Republic of Congo and fled into Kenya. And when they arrived here in the United States, their older children, they had seven children. The two older girls had already been resettled here, so it was a family reunification, the rest of the family being reunited with her. The mother had a lot of medical concerns, and we had to make multiple trips to the doctor to be able to help her resolve that issue so that she can be able to become self-sufficient and to be able to help her family. And in my many, many trips taking her to the doctor's office, she really helped me open my eyes to the real tragedy of war and how much she missed her home country. She's very grateful for the opportunity to resettle here in the United States. Her children are doing very well. They've gone to college. They graduated high school. They've had an opportunity to be very, they have jobs, they live in a nice house, they were able to buy a house, and they live in a nice house. All the adult members of the family are either in school or are working. But she always remembered her farm. She talked to me a lot about her farm. And this goes back to what Barbara was saying, that they are forced to flee. It's not a choice. She talked to me about how much she misses farming. She misses her vegetables, her animals, and she had a very good life prior to the war breaking out. And she just enjoyed that kind of life. And that she always talked to me about her farm. And it really helped me understand that refugees are being forced to flee. They have no way they would go back. She told me she'll get killed if she ever went back.
Because she's now said, no, I don't want to be here. Yes. So if you go back, it's like, ha ha, I'm here. And they're like, no, you're not.
Yes. And it speaks to the wonderful things that we do here. We are impacting lives. We are changing lives. We are giving refugees another opportunity to be able to live a good life. So it's amazing.
And I would just comment that it also serves, in addition to helping others, it also serves our communities and our state, both from an economic and educational, and just the diversity of having different cultures in our communities.
Yeah, I grew up in Fort Dodge, which was a very, and my school was a very homogenous group, and so grateful for my grandkids that have an opportunity to have these wonderful international friendships. That they don't just think of everything as white, you know, which is, that was all I knew, you know. So this is, we're such a richer culture for the diversity of everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to thank my guests today, Barbara Decker, Executive Director of Catholic Charities, and Elise Rodich, the Refugee Resettlement Program Manager from Catholic Charities. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That
you and your work will be in my prayers and in the prayers of our listeners. Thanks to my producer, Deacon Tony Valdez, and I'm Jean Wells. And today, asking St. Francis Cabrini, who is the patron saint for refugees, who was sent to the United States to help those Italian refugees. We pray for her protection, for all seeking a life free from war and persecution. Iowa Catholic Radio and Straight Talk is on the air because of your prayers and your generosity. I thank you so much. Please consider a tax-deductible gift as you can to iowacatholicradio.com. Straight Talk is live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and rebroadcast at 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Stay tuned for Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. God bless.
Straight Talk, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio with Gene Wells. Brought to you by Blackbird Investments.